Well, good evening, horror movie fans. I got a really great show tonight. I've been thinking about this for a long time. And finally, I got my wish. It came true. It is Christmas time. Tonight, my guest, she's just great. She's an actress in the horror movies. She's been referred to on IMDb as the Sultana of Splat. She's also a director. She made her directorial debut in 2013 with a movie called Truth or Dare, and it won over 30 awards all over the place. It played all over the world, great reception, and she's currently working on more. And what can I say? Let's just bring her on. Jessica Camera, how are you doing?
Thank you so very much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Oh, thank you for calling. This is great, man. You know, I've been wanting to talk to you for a long time, and you've been up to so much since the last time we talked. I believe the last time I was able to talk with you on air was 2 years ago when Truth or Dare was just being put out there.
Sounds about right. And please, go forward. Feel free to, like, nudge me via email every 6 months or so. Sometimes people are like, oh, just nudge us. And I was like, I don't think you understand my world. Like, 2 years goes by in a blink.
It seems like yesterday, doesn't it?
It does. And because, you know, I think it's different, like, when you schedule a show and you're like, okay, who should I have on tonight? You're, like, constantly thinking about that. I literally don't think about whose show to be on or that kind of stuff until people email me. You know, and I'm like, oh,
right.
Yeah, it has been 6 months. Oh, yeah, it's been 2 years. It's just the opposite.
What have you been
spectrum.
Doing? How come you haven't called my show? What's going on? Well, you know, people are busy. People are very busy, and they got their own thing. And when you're focused, and when you're in the industry that you're in, you know, making movies, being an actress, being on the road a lot, just constantly having a tight schedule, you're so focused, you can't think about all that other stuff. So, yeah, you got to be nudged and reminded sometimes, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
So let's talk about Truth or Dare. It's been 2 years now, and it's been winning awards. What kind of awards has it won? I mean, what, Best
We
Picture,
won 34 awards all over around the world. We've won, I think it was 7 or 8 Best Feature awards. We won a bunch of Best Actor for Ryan Kaiser. I won a couple of Best Actress awards. Heather Dorff won a couple of Best Actress awards. We won some Best Effects. We won, I think we pretty much won something for everything at some point kind of deal.
Pretty much just like a blanket spread of all the categories?
Yeah, like we just kept winning, which is great for us.
Yeah. Nice.
We'll take it.
So, that was your first directorial debut. You've been an
that
actress.
Was.
You know.
It was my first time directing anything. You know, a lot of people ask me, like, what shorts did you do? And I was like, I didn't do any shorts.
Now, you, before that time, were an actress, and you're, you know, earning your chops and going through the whole, you know, school of getting experience and getting roles. And then you finally decided, what was it made you decide, no, I want to be on the other side of the camera?
You know, it was truthfully just the fact that we had the budget raised, and then I had co-written the script that I loved that I wanted to act in, and I knew it inside and out, and I felt that the market was ready for a gruesome, graphic, vicious, nasty torture flick again. And then I made a short list of directors who I thought would do really, really well with everything, you know, the budget, the script, et cetera. And then to my shock, we went out to the filmmakers and our short list, which was 6 total. 3 of them came back and said they couldn't do it because of scheduling if we'd consider pushing our dates. But I didn't want to push the dates. You know, we'd already been doing the funding and everything, and I just felt to push the dates was kind of pointless. And then the other 2 came back and said they'd love to do it, but we'd have to tone down the material. And that just wasn't something I wanted to do. You know, it wasn't where my mind was at. It wasn't where my heart was at. I felt to water it down and make it like another Hollywood sort of blah film wasn't what I wanted for my first producing gig. So then one of our investors was like, you should just do it yourself. You know, nobody knows the material as well as you do, and you love it so much, you should just do it.
I gave it some thought,
and then I was like, you know what, I should.
That's the thing, is with when it comes to independent film, you have a set budget, and there's a lot of things that, you know, a lot of directors, and writers would like to have happen in their film, but one of the things that they always refuse to have happen is to water it down or compromise. You take a bigger budget, then you got to make all kinds of compromises. And this is it's been a growing trend, you know, for many years now with independent film, is it's getting more and more recognized and more and more appreciated by general audiences, because a director and a writer and the actors, they have a vision and they want to see that and show it to other people. And if you go in the direction of having a larger budget, it's not always the best solution, because then, like you said, you were asked to water it down. You don't want to do that. You know what I mean? What makes good film, independent film, is having what you want up there the way you wanted it. And that's why independent filmmakers I have so much respect for, because they have the passion to really take risks as far as what they want to make. And they're in a position to where they don't have to answer to funders, so to speak. I mean, if the funders are the people that want to see what they have to create, that's you're going to answer that. But you're doing that in the first place. You know what I mean? If you're answering
depends on who your investors are. So I do think it just depends. Like, I think in the low-budget world where you likely have fewer investors and they're kind of game for everything, that's true. But again, it does depend. I just want everyone to know it always depends on your investors, because you could have somebody donating $10,000 who literally tells you, sorry, if you don't make it a family-friendly film, I'm not doing it.
Right.
So it's not necessarily limited to size. It's really just about getting the right investors.
If someone was going to invest $10,000 and then told you, okay, I want everything changed to be a family-friendly kind of, you just wouldn't take the money, right? Because you would be making your film.
Like, well, I wouldn't, but I mean, I know most people I know do. They do it every day. Because
yeah.
It comes down to taking the money and making the film, or not taking the money and not making the film.
Well, a lot of very industrious people find a way to make their film.
Oh,
and
of course,
that you
but
have.
I'm just saying a lot of them have those compromises as part of it. It's just what truth or dare. I was really lucky, and I didn't have to compromise at all, you know. So I just want it to be clear, you know, because I don't want people to think who are listening that, oh, you never have to compromise, because that's not entirely true.
No, I mean, there's always something that has to be done. So what have you been up to for the last 2 years? Because it has been a long time. I've been looking at the things that you're doing. I've been looking at ideas that you're trying to get going. And the most recent thing that I noticed, I saw you post about doing a YouTube channel with a friend of yours.
Yes. Well, that's kind of like the fun little thing that we're going to be doing. It's just for fun.
Mm-hmm.
But like work-wise has been really great. We completed, I produced five films last year. So they are all in post-production and in various stages of film festivals, which is wonderful and is super fun. So we have Mania, which is my fucked up lesbian love story. We just started with the film festival round for that one, and we are at 7 awards won so far, so we're pretty happy with it. And then we did Desolation, which was a female-driven hitchhiker tale. So that one's currently in post, and we should be done not too far into the new year, pretty early, hopefully February 1st. Then we have Kill the PA, which is our documentary.
That's one
I'm
interested in. I'm very interested in that project.
So news, we have more news on that one. We've actually recut it into 22-minute episodes, or in the process of recutting it, I should say, because we had an entire series worth of footage that was really great. So we're going to have a 15-episode episodic. So that's going to be going down the pipeline, hopefully early next year. I think it'll be a little bit longer before the world gets to see it, just because, you know, it's a TV show, and I have less experience selling that. So it's been a different process, but stay tuned for that. It's actually the most fun thing ever, because it's really sort of a new and original way that we did it, and you get to see everything from the good, the bad, the ugly, on the independent filmmaking process.
Yeah, how many directors did you travel with throughout the course of this series?
I mean, there was a bunch of directors on set. So P, for both movies, Desolation and Mania, is also a director. Obviously, I'm a director. I acted in Desolation and produced it, and then I directed Mania. The director of Desolation, Ryan Andrews, did crew for my film and then directed Desolation. Jordan Pacheco, who is also an effects artist, needed effects and PAing work. He is also a director. So we had a bunch of them kind of on with us for this road trip. I think that's kind of the only way that trip could have worked. the way that it did, because you just had to have enough people with, like, a bigger foresight as far as just, like, gotta get it done, as opposed to this is my one little job.
Yeah.
So it's looking really, really good. It goes really dark places. We were on the road shooting the three films back-to-back for 23 days.
Oh, good Lord. And you went all over the country?
Yes. We traveled from California all the way up to New Mexico. We went through Arizona and then Kansas, Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, Texas, Alabama, and Arizona again, and New Mexico.
Wow. Sounds like you hit all the hot spots.
Yeah, so we traveled a lot. Yeah, right? We did it. It was quite the interesting trip, let me assure you of that. It was really, really, really fun, though, and I definitely don't regret doing it, though. It was one of the most stressful times of my life. But I think at the end of the day, it's all worth it. And so far, everyone who's seen the show, including some people who I'm in awe over, even watch my work, all have the same response. And they can't believe I did it. They can't believe I survived. And then they can't wait to see more. So I think that's really great. And I'm really excited to see where it goes, you know. I haven't done a TV series before. I didn't expect this to be the case here, but Erin M. Lane, who is my wonderful director, pulled it out and is just doing a wonderful job with it. So,
and when
what
network will this air on? Do we know?
We aren't sure right now. We have some offers on the table, and we're just kind of waiting to see where the chips fall with that one.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not honestly for sure. We have interest from several networks. I don't know if it'll be a network thing so much as it might be an online streaming thing through a various
mm-hmm.
platform. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So at this point, it kind of just depends upon whoever is going to give us the best deal.
Nice.
So
now
we're looking at everything
caller.
Right now.
Nice. We have a caller, and I'm gonna take this call. Area 408, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Brett. And
hey, my buddy Joe Flynn.
Hi, Joe.
Hello. I just wanted to chime in as well to Jessica's wonderful performance in the tour. I don't know if you mentioned that one, Brett. But
no,
it was
we haven't
really good.
About it.
It's a very good, very wonderful short film. I said to Jessica when I last saw her, yeah, they got to make another one. They got to do something. I want to figure out more.
I agree,
and,
right? And Damon Wright and Alex Mathias, the directors of that, they actually had a feature-length version of that. So everybody harassed them to go and make their feature-length version and let Dorf and I go to England for an even longer period of time because we had so much fun the first time in England making that movie. We want to go back for more.
Can that film be found online, or is it theaters only?
Not yet.
How does that work?
You can find it on social media and sort of stay tuned. I'm sure that they're going to release it for free shortly because it's a short film that has done the festival circuit. It won a bunch of awards. It did really, really well. It's got a lot of interest. And it's a really kind of unique little tale. So definitely stay tuned, and I'll be sure to share with everyone when it's available publicly.
Absolutely.
And again, Jessica, I'm so glad everything's going wonderful for you. And I actually was watching you about a week or two ago on Sci-Fi in the lovely opus, the that spider damn movie. Yeah, that's it. The camel spiders. Yeah, that's
camel
it.
Spiders. Those bastards. Yeah. One of my many movies that I will never see, Residuon, that plays all the time.
Yes, it does.
Life of an actor.
But
you're like, if I only
yes.
had a residual check for every time that movie played, you would be getting even more movies a year from me.
That's right.
You'd be a lot busier, right?
Well, I don't think I could be busier, but I'd definitely be doing, I'd be funding more of my own stuff, more than two or three a year, for sure.
Nice. Hey, Joe, you going to be hanging out with us?
Sure, I'll hang out for a little bit, but go ahead, Brett. It's all about you, man.
Oh, no, it's all about Jessica. Woohoo!
That too, but, yeah, I'm just here.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So how did you get the Sultano squat? Is that something somebody gave you, or was it self-appointed?
Yeah.
How did that work?
That was coined by Preston over at Rue Morgue. So I'm a huge fan, obviously, of Rumor. Go Canada. It's a Canadian horror magazine, if you guys didn't know that, or originally Canadian horror magazine. And I was so impressed with the wonderful things that Preston wrote. He was really taken by the Kill the K model and how we managed to do that one, just because it was a different way to make a movie. And I'm, you know, such a big, huge proponent of we have to find original ways to manage to tell quality stories. You know, because if you have no money, we cannot see it, you know, an endless amount of movies of like 720-somethings trapped in a room. So he was just a huge proponent of just everything that we did on that trip, and it was great. So that's how I got named the Sultana of Splat.
Very nice. It's got a rhythm to it, you know?
Right? I know, and I've also, they call me the goddess of gore, which I'm honored by, and I don't know where that came from. I've heard it multiple times, and I can't quite place its origin, so if you did start that one, just message me, and I will credit you fully, I promise.
Well, it's kind of funny, because I said it somewhere, I believe on my Facebook page, I called you a horror goddess, or the goddess of horror, or something like that. And I didn't read it anywhere. It just kind of popped off my head when I was doing the show last night. Because you are a scream queen. You do the most awesome, gritty, some of them, roles. I mean, there's a lot of blood. There's a lot of horror. And you're just so beautiful. Hey, I'm just saying that. Because you are. So, you know, it's. I just forgot where I was going with this because I got all giddy and nervous calling you beautiful. Hey, see what happens?
Well, thank you.
To you all the time.
I actually really want to do a movie that, like, because my movie is Truth or Dare is really bloody, but Mania is not particularly bloody, and then the next couple that we have planned aren't really bloody, so I'm trying to find something that I could do that's, again, just like the most blood of any movie ever because I feel like that would be fun. And I feel like my good friend Heather Dorf, who I'm going to do the YouTube show with, I feel like she's really funny when I cover her in blood. She gets really sticky and grumpy, and I laugh a lot when she's sticky and grumpy, so I need to find more reasons to do that. So on Truth or Dare, I was like, so guess what, Heather Dorf? I'm dumping an entire bucket of fake blood on you. And she's like, of course you are.
This sounds like this is something that I want to see. When I first saw that you had mentioned doing a YouTube show, and it's for shits and giggles, which is makes it even better. Because you're not pressured, you're just here having fun.
So much we're, doing stuff, and it's so, like, just everything we do is hilarious, and sometimes we've been starting to use Periscope and stuff to bring people in, and I was like, we should just do this, like, with a bit better lighting and a bit more planning so that people can really hear it, because it's kind of ridiculous. And sometimes, like, even our friends are like, you guys should just have your own show, but I don't, like, you know, I don't have time in the day to, like, structure a proper show, you know, or to, like, have a desire to do that. So I think just something fun where we're like, we go, we put some effort in, we're just doing, we're being us in normal circumstances. Like, I do this thing all the time where I make Dorf watch, like, the worst videos on the internet, and it brings so much joy to my life. I feel the need to share that with people.
You would love my YouTube channel, then. If you like really, really bad videos, go check out my channel.
Well, I mean, bad by, like, I made her watch One Guy, One Jar this week, and I had my friend make a video of her reaction.
Oh, what?
Oh,
have you seen One Guy, One Jar yet?
Oh, God, I saw it years ago, and it's just something you can't unsee.
Yeah, so I had her watch that, which was hilarious, and then I had her watch, like, his follow-up video, like, the One Guy, One Driver.
Joe, have you seen One Guy, One Jar?
Yes,
right,
but years ago. But hey, you
years
know,
ago.
Like,
so let me
you
ask,
said,
let me
it's
ask you. Honestly, no. Let me ask you, Joe. What was your impression of that particular video?
I kind of just wanted to run and hide. Give me, you know, drunk Heather Dorf and Jessica Cameron on camera, and just like let them dance the night away, man. That would be more entertaining.
Well, there will be that too. Like, and we don't show the video in our streaming. We just show Heather Dorf's reaction, which is pretty funny. And then I like grab her by the back of the hair and force her to watch, because I'm like, "There's no looking away. There's no looking away." But we're gonna do. I want to do a game to like. Heather Dorf has no alcohol tolerance. She's so funny when she's drunk. And I have quite a high alcohol tolerance, so I think we should do like a power hour, where like. every 5 minutes we have to take a shot to, like, last woman standing.
Oh, that would be great.
Right?
Let me get this straight.
Really funny.
Let me get this straight. When you were showing her this video and her reaction to it, you actually pulled a robot chicken on her?
What is that, where I, like, forced her to watch?
Yeah, if you've ever seen
Seth
Green's Robot Chicken.
I haven't yet.
That's hilarious. Oh, you haven't done it yet.
No, I haven't seen that yet, but yeah, I've already done that. Like, we've already taped the segments for the first episode, and we have it being worked on right now.
Oh, gotcha, because I was going to ask where could we see it, but it's not up yet.
Well, if you go to the Facebook page, it's called the Scream Queen Stream. That's where we're going to be putting everything, so check that out. And we're working on a website right now. We've got Twitter and everything like that, so definitely just pay attention there because you'll see it all there. It's going to be, like I said, it's just going to be fun. It's just, you know, it's going to be a little bit of everything, kind of like a variety show. Like, I want to go into, like, random crowds of people and scream and just, like, video their reactions. I want to interview some, like, awesome people in the horror world where I'm like, if I care what you have to say, the other fans who don't happen to, like, be your friend in Los Angeles, California, probably care, too. Let's share this. We're going to have, you know, drinking games. We'll probably do some movie reviews. I have a segment that I call Dressing Dwarf because Heather Dwarf has a very severe lack of fashion sense. So I always, like, bag on her, and I always have to dress her. And people who, like, when girls come over and we're, like, getting ready and I'm dressing her, like, my friends just, like, sit and watch because they're like, you guys are so funny. So I was like, we should do a segment called Dressing Dwarf, which is just what I do anyways. We're just putting a camera there. Where I dress Dwarf. We're doing a segment called Cooking with Cameron because I can't cook and she thinks she can help me.
Oh, boy. That'll be fun.
Right?
Yeah. It sounds like you got it.
Because I don't want to blow up my own.
Sounds like you got a lot of ready-made content.
Right? Well, then we're like, we'll showcase our, like, vines of the week and stuff like that, too. So it's just going to be fun. You know, why not?
Is that going to be like a short-term kind of thing just to see what happens? Or, I mean, because it takes a lot of time. People don't know when you make a YouTube video.
Well,
and, like,
the
ones I do are just crappy and stupid, but they take time to take some planning.
Well, I always plan for, like, the long term. So I'm down. I put into my schedule where I was like, I can allot this much time every week because I think consistency is important. Dwarf is the one who's a little bit less, you know, good about that. But what I told her is I was like, let's get a couple episodes. Let's feel it out. And then we're probably going to put it on, like, Patreon or something, which is a site where you could put, like, web series and stuff where people can, like, essentially, like, a $3 every time you upload a video or something like that. Because I think with Heather, if I can get her to make a little bit of money where she can leave her job and it's not going to compete with that, then she'll be more interested. And that's kind of, like, the other thing that I really hope for the show is I'd love not necessarily to make a lot of money off of it, but I'd love it if it could pay a little something so that Heather could leave her day job she doesn't like.
Well, you know, I've done a lot of review on that. I looked in the Patreon and I looked in, you know, I did a lot of research on, you know, YouTube is the biggest, you know, video feed channel owned by Google now. And the actual money that these people make doing videos every week after Google gets their cut and then they pay their taxes and all that, it's really, a lot of them barely make enough to where they could live on, and they still have their day jobs and what have you, you know? So it's kind of hard to make a lot of money that way.
You're talking about ad revenue and not Patreon, right?
Yeah. Now, Patreon is a better way to go because I looked into that, too. And that's,
well, and keep in mind,
you know,
like,
fans
Dwarf,
that you have.
Because Dwarf, like, you know, it's not like we're thinking, okay, we need to earn $20,000. Like, literally, if I could get Dwarf a couple $100 more a month, she would be in a better position to quit her job.
Oh, there
you go. Because Dwarf already does a bunch of other stuff. So, as we all do, like, you know, I ask and produce and direct. Heather Dwarf makes websites. She does this. She does that. So, the goal is kind of not necessarily to, like, even, like, care to make a living wage so much as it is if I could just pat her pockets a little bit where, you know, she was doing this, like, on a weekly basis, no longer came down to, should I do this or do I have to go into a stupid office and make websites for them for 2 days a week?
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, I mean, when you first got into the business, you moved down from Canada, and was it your intention to get into show business and independent movies when you moved down here? Was that your reason?
No, not at all, actually. It never crossed my mind.
Well, how did you get into it?
I went to school for fashion, and they brought me down to do fashion design at a large retailer. And then I did that for years, and I realized, oh, my God, I hate it, and I hate my life. And this is not what I was designed for, like this corporate world. And then my very first interview that I had, where it was my 3-month mark, they were like, we love you, you're great. However, you talk too fast. And keep in mind, like, talking had nothing to do with my job. I literally would sit at a desk and draw all day. So it literally had nothing to do with my job. But if you've ever worked at a corporation, you'll understand this. When it comes down from your boss's boss, you have to shut them up. So, you know, my immediate boss was like, you know what, take an acting class and then just talk slowly around the stupid people. And that's what I did. And it was honestly, it was a blessing in disguise. Because that time I was like, how am I going to have time for this? I found something I loved and something that made working at this shitty day job worthwhile. You know, I could work that horrible day job for a paycheck if I could just get to that acting class that week. You know, so that's what I did for years. And then I kind of plotted and planned my escape. And then as soon as I had the money saved up and I had a reel and I had an immigration attorney and all of these things that are needed to do this full time, I left and I haven't looked back since. And that was February 2nd, 2010.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't know it was 5 years ago. You just got, you've been on a whirlwind in 5 years. I figured it was a little bit longer, but when I look at your list and the movies, yeah, it looks like everything started around 2010, so that makes a lot of sense. Dude, 5 years, and you're just blowing up.
Well, thank you. I don't believe in sitting still. I believe in work. I think when you work hard, you get more work.
Yeah.
Trust me, I know. I should. Since when I do run into Jessica, which is once a year, she's always got something new going on, something, you know, it just boggles my mind. It's like, what? You got like 10 movies coming out and you didn't tell me? No, I'm just joking.
Sorry, darling. You get the press releases, or at least you should be. Check your inbox if you're not, because you're on my press list for sure.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. I, you know, that's why I always, when I see you, I'm always so in awe and impressed with what you got going on, because as I say, like when I go down to the LA area, the Burbank at Monster Palooza, when I see you, you know, my once a year visit, it's like, as I was saying, yes, hello,
you
I'm visiting.
So I started this show salivating, and now you're salivating. This is beautiful.
Yes. It is I, Joe Flynn, the salivator of salivators. No, I'm just...
The illustrious Joe Flynn. Beautiful.
No.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I think you do. When you love what you do, doing it all the time is a blessing.
It is. And I
it
agree.
Is. And, you know, everybody should be able to have that experience at some time in their life when they're doing what they love the most. Most of the time, doing what you love the most takes the most amount of work, but it doesn't feel like work most of the time.
Well, exactly. It's not work, right? It feels like play.
You're out there playing in the sandbox, and guess what? Hey, I'm making a living playing in my sandbox. This is cool. Like, isn't that the dream we all have when we were kids? Like, I want to be a fireman, or I want to be this, or I want to do that, because it's like something you think would be really cool. But to actually have it for real, it's got to be awesome.
I think so. I mean, I'm endlessly thankful for my life and for all the work that we get to do. You know, every time I get to make a movie, it's another wonderful blessing. A blessing that makes you want to kill yourself in some ways, but a blessing nonetheless.
True.
The old double-edged sword?
Yes.
Oh, exactly. It's just so much hard work, but, you know, it's always worth it in the end.
I think Joe's talking to his cat.
No, I'm actually playing with my dog. My cat is hiding, but
he must not know that.
You know
also, very much a cat person.
You know,
yes,
every
I
time
know.
I do a show, when I'm in the middle of my show, my dog, she comes up, she sticks her head on my lap, and then just wags her tail, and she will not leave until I look at her and say, okay, and I'll pet her head. And I'm in the middle of a show here, but she's a dog. She doesn't know. You know what I mean? No, like, I can say, hey,
she
I've got
that
a show going on
here. She's not getting your full attention. She wants it.
Oh, she has to have it. She's an old girl. I've had her a long time. You know, she's going to be 13 next year. She's an old girl. Black lab. And, yeah, I mean, she's a total attention whore. I mean, I can't leave her alone for more than 2 minutes without. I go to another room, she's up and she's following me. No matter where I go, it's like ridiculous sometimes. Until Mama comes
yep.
home, then it's all about Mama. And I'm like, whew, thank God.
Well, yeah, just like with.
Coming second.
Go ahead, Jester. No, but
just,
yeah.
I think she just said.
Next, no, your second place.
What happened?
It's the cats. The cats are attacking Jessica.
Is it her dog or is it her cat? Does she have a dog or is she a cat person?
I am a cat
she's
person.
A cat.
She's
a cat.
She's a cat
woman.
Person. Okay.
Trust me.
But I mean, I feel like also too, I don't believe dogs are really a good thing for in the filmmaking world. I mean, it's just hard. You'd have to have a really normal life and somebody normal, like, in your world to take care of them because
mm-hmm.
the filmmaking life does not really allow for you to, like, be like, allow me just to come home after an 8-hour workday and let my dog out.
Yeah, dogs are completely dependent, whereas cats, you might be gone for a week, and when you come back, you're like, hey, you know, thanks for filling my bowl for a week. It's cool because it's plenty of supply. I didn't need you. But I'm glad to see you anyway. I don't know. I'm not
yeah.
a cat person. I'm really not. I've always been a dog.
Yeah, I mean,
person.
I love my cats, and I always make sure that they've got somebody in the house when I leave, but they're definitely so much easier. And, like, if I'm gone away on set for, like, 14 hours a day, it's not like anything bad happens, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Correct.
Unless you got a Christmas, you know, unless you got a Christmas tree up. I mean, that's a different story there.
True.
Cats are
so shiny,
man.
The lights are so shiny. I went to Mirtarim. No,
how can you put a tree up and cats love climbing trees and then put shiny things all over to play with and expect the cat not to, like, do something with it?
Exactly.
That's
I feel
right.
like that's the fault.
I saw a couple of memes on Facebook over the last couple of days about how to cat-proof your Christmas tree. And there's, like, pictures of a Christmas tree with a huge cage around it, pictures of a Christmas tree all decorated pretty, and a cat in the cage. I mean, there's just, you know, more one way to cage a cat or cage your tree, I guess, you know. But my dog,
yeah.
like, she looks at the tree, and she's like, that looks cool. And then she lays down. She doesn't climb the tree.
But I feel like it also depends on so many things, like even their age and stuff. You know, your dog's getting up there, so I'd venture, even if he used to climb the tree, he probably wouldn't now.
You know what? Maybe when she was a puppy. You know, maybe she'd get into some mischief, but she was more into chewing electrical cords and phone lines back then than she is now. So, yeah, I think she's calmed down quite a bit.
See, I only have one cat that would do that. Only one of them out of all five of mine would care about a Christmas tree. I still don't put them up. Obviously, I live in L.A. I have a small one-bedroom apartment. There's no room for a Christmas tree. But only one of mine ever would do that.
Okay, now we have to ask the question, Jessica. How many cats do you have?
Oh, I have five.
Okay, you're borderline right there.
The
one
well,
the apartment in L.A.
20.
And you got five cats? Wow.
The oldest one is 20, and I've had her since I was obviously very, very young.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So she's kept me, and she's been on, like, death's door so many times. It's kind of, she's a miracle that she's alive. And I say alive, you know, with a bit of a question mark, because I know a lot of my friends call her, like, the zombie cat. She looks kind of like a zombie. So I have her, and then her brother is 17, so he's probably not too long for the world either. And then
mm-hmm.
an ex of mine got one of the last ones, so we had to keep her.
Well, your ex doesn't
so
come
sort
from visitation, does he?
No. Actually, ironically, the cat that he insisted we keep hated him with a passion.
Oh, wow. That's a good thing for you.
Yeah, it was really funny. I was like, you realize, like, she hated him, like, so much. It's just sort of ridiculous how much she hated him. I've never seen a cat hate another person so much. And he sometimes would see you still hate him. Yeah. So, and then when I lost my other cat, my middle cat, when I went from 3 to 4 was when my parents died, and somebody had to take, we could only find a home for 3 of their 4 cats. So, I mean, I'll never get 5 cats again. It's not like 5 will be my norm. It just sort of happened this time.
Yeah. But, of course, when Jessica gets up in those good golden age, she'll have, like, about 100. She'll be like
no,
the cat lady everyone loves.
I can ever have more than 5, honestly, because you just don't have time for any more than that with movie making.
Sure.
And I intend to make horror movies until I can't walk or see.
I don't even know how you have time for 5 cats. Where do you find the time? Because cats are, well, like you said, you know, they're very independent, and you can leave them alone 13, 14 hours a day and whatnot. But, I mean, it's still a lot of work because, you know, they're animals. You got to take care of them, you know?
I do. They're pretty well trained. I mean, all of them. So, I mean, they're not really that much work.
Sure.
I'm lucky. They're easy.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Like, you know,
I was going
to... Like, when you have a cat for 20 years, like, they sort of just adapt to you.
Yes, they do.
Well, they say cats don't have owners. Cats own their owners. You ever heard that one before?
Yes, cats have staff.
Cats have staff. Yeah. That's a good one, too, yeah.
Oh, man.
I have a relative, and I love her to death. And she's coined her own crazy cat lady thing, and she owns it. And I respect her to death for that, but she's got 13 cats and one little dog who thinks it's a cat. So, in fact, the cat has a cat name instead of a dog name, if you could say that. But she takes care of all of them. I mean, she's, you know, but it's a lot of work. And she's got a lot of animals in her house, you know? It's a lot of work. I think it's more work than dogs.
I feel like when you get to that many of anything is ridiculous.
She's very empathetic, and she has a big heart. And, you know, she works for a company that does renovations, or what do you call it, like if your house gets flooded or if there's fire damage or anything, she goes in and does all the repairs and estimates and all that kind of thing. So she's in a position where a lot of times she runs across abandoned cats or cats who have suffered and their owners just don't want anything to do with it or whatnot. So she rescues them because she's got a big heart. You know, that's just the type of person she is. But she has no qualms about
jokes. I would do the same thing.
Yeah. She has no qualms about being called a crazy cat lady. I mean, she owns it, and that just makes me love her even more.
There we go.
Oh, yeah. But I think, too, like with the internet coming, you know, now social media and everything's becoming more mainstream, we're all able to sort of find, like, our own little freak cliques, you know? Where it's like, you can call me a crazy cat lady because I know that I'm friends with a bunch of people who are also crazy cat ladies.
Birds of a feather.
Yeah.
Crazy cat ladies of a feather. I would, like I said, you've got 5, so you're kind of borderline. And being crazy...
I'm okay.
Well,
I don't mind. I mean, I joke all the time about it. I mean, I don't care. Call me whatever you want. I think cat people are the best people in the world. You know, so I say viva la cat people.
Speaking of which, my dog is already circling my chair. Hi.
For this dog.
Hi, Nitty. Okay, yes, I'm doing a show. Could you? Okay, all right, fine. One more pet. One more scratch behind your ear. Oh, okay, no. Now go lay down.
Jessica.
She's looking at me like, what do you mean go lay down?
Yes, darling.
I'm just curious. Would you ever do a musical?
Good question.
Would I do it and would I be very good are 2 very different questions. I don't have a musical bone in my body. I am not good at that. If I would do it, would have to be a horror musical, and I would probably be like the butt of the joke. Because, again, I know this. You know, there's many people like my friend Danny Inks, amazing performer, amazing singer. So there's, like, great people who can do both. I am just respectfully not one of those people. If I ever had a great script in front of me and all the roles required singing, I'd probably be like, hey, let me produce or direct. Let me not act. Because, again, I feel like I'm just not good at it.
That's a very good answer. You know, yeah. I would have just said, yeah, I would direct or produce and send all my other friends in. Say, here, sing this ballad with blood and gore in it. Sing it. Sing it proudly.
I think that's an awesome idea, Joe.
The horror musical is something that's just so hard to do.
That's
you
true.
Know?
It would be.
Would you say that the Broadway theater crowd isn't just, you know, into that kind of thing?
Well, it's not so much that. Like, anytime you do anything with horror, you have to appeal to the horror crowd. But it's also just, like, the pacing and getting it right. And, like, that's just a whole lot of stuff to balance.
True.
You know?
I mean, I'm not a Broadway fan or anything, but the only thing I've ever seen that came to film that was a horror/musical was Rocky Horror Picture Show. And other than that, you know, I mean, Phantom of the Opera wasn't so much a horror kind of thing as Rocky Horror Picture Show was, but they actually pulled it off. It was more of a comedy than anything, really.
Well, I think, like, that's a great example of one that was done so right. But it's not something where it's, like, I can only imagine how hard it is, like, casting-wise and everything. Because, like, here's the thing. On both of my movies that I've directed so far, on every movie I've produced, you get some actors who are supposed to be good, and then they show up and they're just bad or they're difficult, you know, and you kind of, like, cobble together a performance or you start cutting their lines. When you add in this whole extra thing of, like, okay, so now not only do you need an actor who can act, but then they also have to sing, you've got another thing that could go horribly wrong.
Yeah.
True. You know, go ahead.
I was going to say, Jessica, I got to ask you now, are you, I kind of think that you might be, are you the kind of person that watches a movie like Fargo and sees it as a comedy? And then when you go to show it to a friend and they're like, this movie is horrific, this is awful, and you're like, wow, I never looked at it that way. Are you one of those kind of people?
I still don't look at it that way, even if after they tell me. But I'm usually, like, pretty aware of how other people see things because I'm a good judge for, like, what other people will think of something, even though I don't agree with it.
Right. I mean, because, like, Fargo, you know, to me, I don't know, I just find humor in almost everything. That's the kind of guy I am. I love to laugh. I'm a big jokester. I like making other people laugh. And then when I watch Fargo, there's so much juicy, good comedic material in that movie. But when I show it to somebody else, and maybe I make the mistake of presenting it as, hey, this is a really funny movie. Maybe that's where I go wrong. But they're like, what is wrong with you, dude? Are you like a sociopath or something? I'm like, no. There's...
I think maybe you're just hanging out with some boring people.
Yeah.
I think so. I think I need to have more exciting people in my life.
Find the right crowd. No, yeah, I understand what Jessica was saying about, you know, the whole, like, oh, hey, I flubbed your line. You know, it harkens back to the good old days of when, like, soap operas used to be taped live and, like, you could see the boom mic or someone accidentally screwing up their lines and they're, like, going, like, what am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to do next? You know.
It's funny you bring that up because, you know, one of the guests I had on a couple of months ago, he's out in Brooklyn, Gilbrando Avestito. He before he got into acting for film, he was he did a short stint on off-Broadway shows. And, you know, I'm not a fan of theater in that sense. So I had a question that I asked him was, it, you know, the difference between acting live on stage every night versus doing film, because you don't get a second take and things can go wrong. And when they do, you just got to kind of try to recover from it. But the way I presented to him was like, did it get boring doing the same show week after week? You know, and his response was actually really good. He just said it was better in a way because you have an immediate reaction from the audience. different every night. Even though you're doing the same thing, you know, you're reciting the same lines every night, it's a different performance because you have that live interaction with the audience. Whereas with film, you know, you have multiple takes, you can fix it, and then everything can be edited and post and what have you. But you don't see the reaction from your audience until they actually see the film. So it's two different disciplines that I never really thought about.
Oh, yeah, it's very, very different.
So I guess your answer still holds that you probably wouldn't do that, not because you wouldn't enjoy it, not because you wouldn't be good at it, because you haven't tried, but you really can't sing, which is, you know, probably the most important thing in any kind of musical.
Yeah,
yeah,
I don't
no,
mean
I
that in a bad way.
I wouldn't
not
do a musical because I cannot sing. I wouldn't act in a musical because I cannot sing. But also, like, again, it's just not my favorite genre. You know what I mean? If I were to, I probably wouldn't direct it because I'd probably be like, hey, look, there's somebody better for this. You know, I'm a big believer that people should go off and find that person that thing means so much to, you know,
mm-hmm.
where it's like it would make their, like, life a better place if they got to be a part of it. Like, go find that person for that project. It's probably somebody who, like, loves musical theater, and that's totally awesome. It's just, with all due respect, not me, you know. I've never been a huge fan of musical theater.
Me neither.
We got,
honestly.
No. Yeah, there's nothing wrong. Jessica,
yes.
Your most terrifying experience on a film set.
Oh, goodness.
There's so many. I mean, I've been hit in the head with boom ops. I've been, gosh, that's a tricky one. I mean, I think anytime you go to direct and you take somebody's money and you're like, here's how we're going to make a movie, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
You know, like that's horrifying right there. Time I make a movie, it's tricky for that regard, you know. But there's like, you know, there was a time on Kill the PA when we were filming Desolation where I walked out of the scene. So we're shooting in Northern California. And the scene is in a really cool looking rest stop. Really nasty, really grimy, which is exactly what the script needed. So that was great. So we do that, and then we film the scene, and the inside is all lit, so I can see everything inside, and then on the outside, all I can see is a stoop, and then it's pitch black, right? So obviously, we don't light the outside world. So I take one step into the stoop, and so I exit frame, but the scene's still going on. So people are still acting, so you cannot interrupt the scene, especially if you're a producer and a director, because that would be tragic. And I'm about, so as soon as I exit the frame where I cannot be seen anymore, but you can definitely hear everything I say or do, I am about to step on a giant blue tarantula, and I'm highly arachnophobic. So I stand there 1 foot for like the next, I don't know, 35 seconds, 40 seconds while they wrap the scene. As soon as I hear cut, I turn around and I go in and just fall to the floor, freaking out. And everyone's like, oh my God, what's wrong? And I'm having a full-blown panic attack because I cannot handle spiders in any capacity.
That would be terrifying, especially with a tarantula.
Hey, listen, man, tarantulas are nice guys. Tarantulas get a bad rap. Everybody's afraid of these things.
They do.
But they're really...
disagree.
They're nice spiders. They're good spiders.
No.
Yes.
No,
all the spiders are the good guys of the spider world.
I disagree, but to be fair, I do not like any spiders. I'm sorry if you guys like spiders. It's just not my thing. I cannot handle it, and I was terrified. I thought I was having a panic attack. And everybody's like, oh, my God, what's wrong? I was like, I think I'm dying.
There we go.
Well, you know... I'm not saying that I'm a guy that keeps spiders or his pets or anything like that, but I did live with a guy in New York who he worked at Staten Island Zoo, and he had pet tarantulas, like 3 or 4 of them, and they were the most docile creatures and everything, but they do have a defense mechanism that gets, like, triggered randomly if you're holding one in your hand. They take their back legs and they flip their little hairs off their abdomen, and these have little barbs in them. That's how they get away from predators. And I had one of them do that, and all of his little hairy things went into my arm, and it was weeks before I got them all out. And I had swelling going on, all kinds of stuff. It was crazy.
Oh.
But enough of my
fun. Yeah, no, why? They should not be pets. They're not a pet. They're not pet people. They're not a pet.
They're not a pet.
That's right. Definitely wise words from Jessica Cameron, ladies and gentlemen.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah. Spreading hatred of spiders.
Hey, Jessica, I wanted to ask you about something. In addition to, you know, all the movies and shorts and all the other products that you do, last year you did a project for a blood drive. It was a PSA you did. You want to talk about that?
Sure. Well, and I think I do it, you know, for the blood drive PSA. So they got some female filmmakers for Women in Horror Month to encourage people to donate blood, which I think is such a noble cause. So I'm more interested in talking about the cause than anything, because I think a lot of people don't realize how many lives could be saved if people just gave blood. And I hate needles, not as much as spiders, but pretty close. So if I'm saying give blood, take a needle, it's because it's really worthwhile. So if you see me suffering through getting a needle, it's because, again, it's really the right thing to do. You know, in one, you can literally save somebody's life, and it doesn't cost you anything. It takes 15 minutes of your time. You know, I really think more people need to do it. And I feel like most people don't quite realize how easy and simple it is. Like, you literally just go in, they will do all the paperwork for you.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
I got to ask you, Jessica, do you have us on speakerphone there?
Yes.
Okay, because it kind of screws up with the audio on the show a little bit.
Oh, sorry.
There now.
Why would I have known that before the show started?
Well, I feel closer to you when you have your phone up to your ear.
Okay.
There we go.
Yeah.
We're so close. We can touch ears. Now.
Yeah, I think I'm geographically closer, Joe, to her than you are. So
you are.
Maybe I have a one up on you.
Oh, probably.
You know what? You want to hear something funny, Jessica? Joe and I are still trying to dispel the rumors that he and I are gay lovers. And we've been fighting that for how long, Joe? About a year?
Oh, about a year. It happens, you know. I got to put the rumors out. No, there's nothing going on.
I feel like if you don't want people to think that you're gay lovers, you should just stop having sex, and then people will stop.
Oh, there we go, ladies.
Oh, you know what, dude? I never thought of that. Holy crap. Never
You're
even
welcome.
Occurred to
I'll
me.
Be here all night.
Thank you. Tip the waitress as you leave the room.
That's right. She's going
to
be the pilot.
We need a pilot. What would we call it?
Jessica Cameron, pilot airlines. Coming soon. I'm your captain.
No. No,
something
but tells
me I'm going to see a meme.
By the way, you know, as I say, it's always great seeing Jessica and everybody. So don't forget, I'll be out in Pasadena in April. Brett, you should come along to show up.
You know, you told me that this year, and you never called me, dude. I feel like a shun.
No, it's coming.
Oh, you were just called out.
No, it's coming up. It's coming up, Mr. Brett.
April.
Mm. This April. We'll be in Pasadena. We've moved. Never mind. But hopefully, Julie Cameron will be out there as well.
Yeah, I'm hoping to. I mean, I try to go all the like anytime I can. If I'm in town, I go.
Oh, yes. So, there's something to look forward to, Mr. Brett.
Well, you know, I
and to be fair, I feel
well,
like that's where all the cool kids go.
Yes,
if
all
Jessica
the cool
does
kids.
Come out, if we're
Pardon?
Both there, if Jessica and I are both there, Joe, I'm not sure if you would choose her or me, although I think I already know what the answer is.
Why me? Why Joe? They always pick on the Joe.
Again, if you just stop the gay sex, the choice will be easier.
You do realize I'm picking on myself too, right? I mean, I'm a big
fan
as much as you
That's
are.
That's why I feel like I'm the coasters here with Charlie Brown. You look alone.
You know what, Joe? I love you so much because you just have a wonderful sense of humor. I mean, the first time I talked to you was on Francie's show, and that was, what, two and a half, almost 3 years ago? And I'm like, I really like this dude. Seriously.
See, good times were had.
Yes, it always is. We're hanging out with me. I'm always available for everybody almost. So, like, hello, everyone. Nice to see you. I got to run and hide now.
Joe's the kind of guy that shows up and the room lights up.
Kind of. You know,
kinda.
As I said, it does. It kind of gets brightened, you know, and I see people and they're like, hey, I haven't seen you in a year. How the hell you been? Good to see you. Glad. You know, but it's like, as I said, hanging out with everyone, is, you know, like at Monster Palooza is a lot of fun. You catch up and you have a great time, you know. Checking out everything at the convention, you know. And, of course, you know, I'm always proud of Jessica when, you know, she and I, you know, see each other and we chat. And she says, hey, this is what I got going on. And I go, great.
And she's,
you know.
She's always got something going on, too, right? I mean, there's always something for her to talk about.
I try. Some days more than others.
True. And by the way, I do have to commend you, Jessica. I was listening to your interview on Angel's show on Friday night, and you did a very good job.
Thank you. That was tricky because, like, I missed her show, and it felt really bad. And I was like, okay, let's do it this time. And then I ended up going to Disney World, and I was like, nope, still going to do the show. So I know there's, like, major noise confliction, but the point was just to get the show done because I hated having to cancel.
Yeah, you're lucky, Brad. She wasn't at Disneyland tonight.
Yeah, she would have been a lot closer to me. Yeah, we could have done the show live from Disneyland, right?
Oh, there you go.
Right.
Excuse me, my wife just got home, so give me a second. Talk amongst yourself for a moment.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to go shortly because I'd only plan to be on 7.
Okay. I appreciate that you took time out of your busy schedule to be on Bald Head Radio, and it's really wonderful being able to talk to you again because the last, like I said, it was 2 years ago that I was able to talk with you about what you had going on, and there's so much more that has happened since then, and you know, you're making strides. You just constantly doing stuff. I mean, how do you do it? I don't even know.
Lots of coffee, very little sleep, and working with some amazing people, and one, Heather Dorff, also known as Dorff.
That's right. And Heather?
She's my muse. And I mean, not like, not muse as in like my muse in the traditional sense. She's my Jason muse, that really talented mofo who just lacks a little bit of go get him. So I have to have enough go get him for both of us because the only way she's going to be a success is I am so much of a success that I could just pay her to, like, do everything I want.
Enjoy the blood, Heather. Enjoy that. Look forward to seeing her being all grumpy.
Oh, don't worry.
I told you I didn't want the blood on me. But, yes, you have to have it on you, Heather.
Because it makes
good
video.
Thank you so much for having me on, guys. And let me know when it's available to download. I'll be sure to share it out.
Definitely. And this is the point in the show where we get plugs out. Who do you want to plug? What do you want to plug? What do you got?
Definitely go and like the Facebook page for Mania. We're currently doing festivals, and if you have a festival that you think would be perfect for the Effective Lesbian Love Story, talk to me, talk to the festival. Let's try to get it as many places as possible. Stay tuned for Kill the PA, Desolation, and then we've got another bunch of films lined up for this coming year, so stay tuned.
Very cool. Anything else?
No, that's it. Follow me on social media and look for Stream Queens Stream, our YouTube show with Heather Dorff.
I'm looking forward to that big time. Also,
yes,
Joe.
So am I.
Joe's always got something to plug. And speaking of your plug, I just want to say that I do catch your show. I do. And it's just, it always cracks me up.
Yeah, I always scoop up on times. Hey, when I butcher people's names, hey, it happens. But when I butcher time, hey, it's Joe Flynn time. No, you can catch my show every Friday night except for during the holiday season. I'll be taking a little break because they don't play anything on the holiday. So I get 2 days or 2 weeks off, all depending on how you look at it. And, of course, you can catch me every Friday night on the Joe Flynn Show over off of Create TV. Go to my Facebook page, Joe Flynn, and I post the link to the website to watch my show on Friday night, 11:30 Pacific, East Coast time. Sorry, I always love you guys on the East Coast because I'm on so late. I'm sorry. But that's at 2:30 a.m. up there.
Mm.
And, yeah, I got a couple conventions coming up in the Bay Area. One's called the San Francisco Comic-Con with Jason Momoa, the guy from Baywatch Nights, I believe, who's playing Aquaman and Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, and Jenna Louise Coleman, formerly of Doctor Who, and few other people. And then in March, I believe, in San Jose is Steve Wozniak and Stan Lee's convention called Silicon Experience or something like that. And they'll feature people like William Shatner, Nathan DeLeon, Alan Tudyk, Ray Park, and a few other people. And
I would
so
say
then,
right there, with that guest list, the name that popped out to me being a tech geek is Wozniak, the Woz.
Yes, the Woz.
Awesome.
The man
who's... Well, I cannot wait to see that, darling. But I really have to run, so I'm so sorry. But I have a wonderful night, guys, and thank you so much for chatting with me, and I will see you guys in April.
Okay,
thank you so much for being
on
my
night.
Show.
Yes, definitely. Good night, guys.
Good night. Yes, have a great night.
Definitely.
And,
bye.
Of course, hey, I will see you all in April the 21st through the 23rd, I believe. Monsterpalooza at the new location, Pasadena Convention Center. First guest announced is Alex Winter of Bill and Ted's and Lost Boys. So there.
Very cool.
That's coming up. That's coming up, the Steve Wozniak and Stan Lee conventions in March in downtown San Jose. So there.
So I would definitely like to get together with you for that, because Pasadena is not very far away from me, really, compared to where you're coming from.
Yes.
All right. Well, this has been Baldhead Radio, and y'all have a great rest of your week and an awesome weekend. Talk to you later, Joe.
Talk to you guys all soon.
Thank you.